Road of Life. Brought to you by Dove. D-U-Z, Dove. The new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Yesterday, I met a lady you may know. She was a lady who didn't.
Didn't what?
Didn't believe that Does does everything in the wash. She didn't know Does is best. You see, this lady had been using the same old wash day soap for years.
Sort of got into the habit and didn't see any reason to change.
Well, how did Does enter your life?
Well, by accident.
Accident?
Yep, a youngster brought some Does home one day by mistake.
Oh.
I was kind of sore about it. I didn't feel like experimenting on my wash.
Do you have a tough wash?
I'll say. Greasy overalls, messy towels, and lots of rayons to fuss with.
Say, you should be a lady who does instead of a lady who didn't. Does everything. It gives you unsurpassed whiteness for towels, unbeaten cleaning power for getting out tough dirt, plus greater safety for the colored rayons you wash.
Believe me, now I'm a lady who does.
Well, what about those overalls now?
They're a breeze with Does. No more hard scrubbing for me.
No soap made gets dirt out easier than Does. How are your towels now?
Whitest white I've ever hung on my wash line.
Right. No soap washes whiter than Does. And are your colored rayons being treated right?
Wonderful. Does leaves them brighter.
Of course. Does gives colors better care. This new kind of soap does everything. Does is best. Actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps prove it. Does beat them all with its amazing combination of white washes, suds for cleaning, and safety to colors. You'll find does best. Does everything. And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. Very often, when we least expect them, events contrary to our prevailing moods crop up and destroy what we have and hold to. Jim Brent is walking down the second floor corridor of Wiley Memorial Hospital. He's in high spirits, on top of the world at the moment. Halfway down the hall, he sees two members of the staff coming toward him. Jovially, he waves a hand in greeting. The response he receives is half-hearted. The closer he gets to them, the more he notices the dark expressions written across their faces. Nevertheless, as they approach, Jim booms out a hearty hello.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Brent.
Hello, Jim.
How have you been, English? I haven't seen you in a dog's age.
Very well, thank you.
Busy, Jim?
Why, no. Matter of fact, I'm on my way downstairs to get a bite to eat. Care to join me?
Well,
We'll walk down with you.
Good.
All finished with that Evans case, are you, Jim?
After this evening, I don't think there'll be any further need for hospitalization.
No kidding?
Well, congratulations.
Thanks, English.
That stuff really worked, didn't it?
Beautifully, Doc. I tell you, if every case could be cured as easily as Bill's, I'd... Hey, where are you going? I thought you'd walk a ways with me. Refectory's another fight down.
Well, Jim, we wondered if...
I know you're busier than the deuce, Jim, and I'm sure you're hungry, but, could we have a word with you before you eat?
It's rather important, I imagine.
Well, it won't take long, Jim.
I see.
If you'd like, Brent, we could sit down in the waiting room. It's empty now, and after all, it's just as good a place as any.
All right.
Well, no, you take the big chair, Jim.
Thanks. Well?
Jim?
Jim,
I'm sorry, Thompson.
No, you go ahead.
Well, Jim, Thompson and I want a few words with you. Now, we want you to understand that we're not speaking only for ourselves. We're more or less representing the views of the entire staff.
Oh?
You know, we've all been so busy around here that there hasn't been time for the usual staff meetings, but...
One by one, Jim, all of the men on staff have been talking this over, and we...
Talking what over?
Well, now, Jim, I wouldn't want you to think for the world that we've been going behind your back in this. It's just that...
Oh, now, you know how we feel about you personally, Brent. Why, there isn't a man here who doesn't think...
Hey, wait a minute. Well, what do you want to say?
Well, Jim, as you know, this is a new hospital. It's natural, therefore, that everything we need isn't here yet. Mm-hmm. And as you also know, we're getting busier and busier every day. Now, if we're going to become anything but a small, exclusive private hospital, we've got to expand. If we ever hope to become a first-class neuropsychiatric hospital, we've got to grow. There are tons of equipment that we'd like to use, that we must use, but we don't have it. Now, we've gone through the regular channels in an effort to get it, Jim. From time to time, most of us gone to the superintendent and the purchasing agent with our requests. Answers have always been the same.
No money, that's what they tell us.
And what's more, the feeling's gotten around that some of us aren't even interested. So I say, if we're going to function as a first-rate institution, we've got to have certain things to work with, especially in the neurological field.
Yes, I understand, but what does this have to do with me?
Well, Jim, this is a privately endowed institution.
Yes?
And you're chief of staff. Now, Jim, as I said a moment ago, we haven't been having our regular meetings lately, but just about every doctor in the hospital feels that in your position, well, it's up to you to tackle the trustees, and that means big Bill Wiley. Not for a few paltry pieces of neurological equipment, but for a big, smacking chunk of money.
Well, what do we have a superintendent for?
Well, he's had a talk with Wiley, Jim. A dozen talks with him. The answer he gets is always the same. Jim, big Bill Wiley thinks the sun rises and sets on you. And he tells the superintendent he knows that if we needed anything out here badly enough, you'd come and tell him. Well, we do need things out here. Desperately.
Well, I know, but if the superintendent of this hospital had a talk with Wiley and was turned down, I don't know how I'm expected to raise the money.
Well, this isn't a huge institution, Jim. It's a particularly intimate setup. And most of the men on the staff feel that since it is like this, it's up to you to see if you can't get the things we need. After all, you are chief. The responsibility is yours, you know.
There are no hard feelings, Jim. There's no pressure, but...
Bud, you want me to get it, hmm?
We'd hoped you would have noticed the need for it before, Brent, but since you haven't...
Anything else?
No, we just thought maybe if we had a talk like this with you, Jim, it would save a lot of time that a meeting might have taken up.
Time and embarrassment. Yeah, I see. Well, thanks for telling me. I see the point. Either get the money for new equipment or get a new chief of staff. Is that it?
And while Jim ponders this new problem, his wife, Carol, is having problems of her own. All that night in her hotel room in Reno, Nevada, Carol Brent slept badly. She pitched and tossed and murmured unintelligible sounds in her sleep. She was nervous and upset because she knew that it was necessary to see her lawyer again in the morning. At 9:30, after getting Janie off to nursery school, Carol Brent turned up in the office of Stanley Eckhart. After the usual greetings and salutations, the lawyer got down to business.
Now, Mrs. Brent, I've gone over the material you've submitted to my secretary regarding your divorce.
Have you?
Yes. What I've read is adequate, but I'm afraid I'll have to bore you by asking you two or three questions.
But if it's at all possible, I'd rather not...
It will be quite impossible for me to proceed unless I have this information, Mrs. Brent. First of all, how familiar are you with your husband's financial status?
Well, I'd say very familiar.
Excellent. Then you'll know about how much money we can ask for in alimony.
Oh, you don't understand, Mr. Eckhart. I don't want any alimony.
You don't?
No, nothing. Nothing at all.
Well, this is rather unusual. However, Mrs. Brent, I don't remember whether I asked you this or not. Your husband isn't planning to contest this action, is he?
No, he isn't.
Well, you needn't sound so sad about it. If he did, it might take a great deal more time. Now then, with regard to the grounds for divorce, we're going to charge mental cruelty. In order to do that, I'll need one or two additional facts. If you'll be good enough to give me a few instances...
I feel this is very unfair to my husband, Mr. Eckhart. He's a terribly kind man.
Yes, yes, I'm sure he is.
Well, I don't feel it's right to go into court and say this sort of thing.
I see. Mrs. Brent, could you tell me exactly why you're seeking a divorce?
Well, it isn't easy to find one reason.
But we must show cause. Now, you can't sit there and tell me there are no causes whatsoever. Perhaps the other day when you first came in here, you were reluctant to speak, but suppose we understand each other. My purpose in asking these questions is purely professional.
I realize that, Mr. Eckhart.
Then let's begin again. You say your husband wasn't given over to drunkenness.
No, he wasn't.
He provided you with adequate support, shelter.
Oh, yes, always.
Was there another woman?
Well.
Well, if you can substantiate any relationship.
Oh, there was never anything between them as far as Jim was concerned. Perhaps Eleanor Richard was in love with my husband, but, well, the disagreements we had with one another stemmed from his knowing Miss Richards. But as far as the two of them were concerned, you see, Mr. Eckhart, when two people begin arguing, sometimes they aren't able to stop. Sometimes they continue to quarrel over every subject under the sun. I admit I was jealous of Jim, but it reached a point where I... Is this necessary?
No. I believe I can fill in a point here and a point there. The doubts in your mind, the worries over your husband's behavior, all of those things lumped together will be sufficient grounds for a mental cruelty charge. Of course, why anyone should want to behave that way toward a lovely woman like you, why...
Will there be anything else, Mr. Eckhart?
No. No, I'll take care of the rest. I'll begin preliminary proceedings on your divorce at once, Mrs. Brent.
The sound of those words frightened Carol. More and more, the thought of divorce was becoming more undesirable. But Carol, as so many other persons in this world, finds herself entangled in a web of circumstances which, to say the least, is most difficult to escape once it has taken hold. You know, it's only natural to want to be reassured about things sometimes. Now, take the other day. A worried-looking young fellow stopped me and said...
Look, Mr. Collier, is this does really all you say it is?
Well, of course. Does is best. It does everything in the wash. What's more, does everything for dishes, too.
Well, that's what I told her.
Her?
My wife.
Oh.
She hates washing dishes. Says there's never enough suds.
Oh, she should does them. Does make suds that stand up till the last dish is done. Why, this new kind of soap pops into suds the second water hits it. Your wife won't have to keep adding soap.
She complains about scouring greasy pans, too.
Does will give her fast action on grease. It cleans up tough grease without any hard scouring.
She also fusses about her hands.
Oh, then she does want does. It's kinder to hands than any other leading wash day soap. Look, you tell your wife does to leave her hands wonderfully smooth and soft.
Oh, thanks, Mr. Collier. We'll does our dishes from now on.
Attaboy. You'll find does best. Because in the dishpan, too, does everything. Be sure and listen tomorrow when D.U.Z. Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash. Want some extra ration points? Save used fat. You'll get 2 red points for every pound. Save every drop of used fat.